glory. As you listen and listen and listen to the scriptures, understanding comes. And you begin to realize it's profound understanding. And what happens to me, this morning some understanding came as I was praying. And it comes frequently. And as I did, I thought, you know what? What I'm beginning to understand, I have no right to understand. I don't deserve it. But God doesn't seem to look at our deserving part. And this last week, again, update of things that we're understanding stuff, but there's an update to what we've been understanding. And I'll read a verse, and then I'll tell you what I'm talking about, or from that verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, to wit, or that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, you know what? The word reconciliation is used 3, 4, 5, 6 times, I don't know, in that chapter close to verse 19. Reconciliation, 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 reconciliation. And the thing that is hard for a lot of church people to understand is the word Christ. See, God was in Christ. And as the Jews understood what Christ meant, they had a hard time believing that Jesus was the Christ, but they knew what it meant. It meant someone like Moses that was anointed. A man. It meant man. And then the other thing is that what has been hard for us, I mean, it's been hard for me to understand, is that after Christ was risen from the dead, and like he said, you know, when he appeared at that where his disciples were, and they said, they saw him, he just appeared. And they said, it's a spirit. And he said, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? And it's like, you know, I mean, is he still a man then? Or what is he? He's still a man. He was a man. He always will be a man. What has happened, I don't know if your translation, if you have a different one than the King James, in the second chapter of Hebrews, where it says that he took not, in the King James it says, he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Well, some of the translations have tried to change that. I don't know if the New King James did or not, but some have tried to change it and said he didn't come to minister to angels, but he came to minister to men. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, so you change this thought pattern in one verse. But then in the next verse, they couldn't change it because they left it the way it was. It says the same thing. It says the King James. But it said I'd have to look it up. But it's important here. I'll show you this. Now it's important with what I'm... I don't know where Hebrews is. Oh, there it is. It says in verse 17, this is Hebrews 2:17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That's the same in the translations that change verse 16. And it says, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So it left that the same, but it changed the one ahead of it. What that does? Nothing. It changed nothing by changing that, except it would help them to think that maybe not only was he not made that, because that's what it says, he was made that. But going back to 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And now, down in chapter 6, verse 1, now thinking with all of this, the ministry of reconciliation, he's given that to us. In verse 6 it says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We are workers. One translation I saw years ago, it said co-workers together with him. And which is the same thing. We're workers together with God. But, okay, so here it is. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I'm trying to think of where the scripture is. I'll come back to it. But I know. Okay, in John 14:9, remember the one where Jesus says to Philip, he says, "Have I been so long time with you and you didn't recognize me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." And so, okay, now that gives us the Trinitarian some license to believe that he's God. You know what I mean? They're not understanding what he's saying. But then verse 10, he explains himself. And that's why it's you don't dwell on a verse and isolate something. In verse 10, he says, do you understand? He says, it's the Father that dwells in me that is doing the works. He says, I can do nothing of myself. But here he said, but the Father that dwells in me just does the work. So it was God that was in Christ. Christ meaning anointed flesh, anointed man. That's what it means. And so God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Okay, now here's what started to happen this last week. I started to understand something that I should have understood. It's very simple, it's very plain, very clear from the scriptures. It's not that, you remember how Jesus, it says that he didn't trust men, he didn't put himself in the hands of men because he knew what was in men? Well, anyway, it's like God really doesn't trust any of us. We're weak. We're flighty. You know, we're not dependable. And so what God has done is through this thing. See, remember, there's two scriptures in 1 Corinthians 3 and in 6. It says, don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is God. That's his spirit. I will send my spirit. God is spirit. So the Holy Spirit is part of God. And so we are given the Holy Spirit. Jesus was given without measure. We are given it by measure. But anyway, why is the Holy Spirit in us? To lead us and guide us God's way. So what we are is we are temples of the Holy Spirit. I begin to understand. God wants to be in us, reconciling the world unto himself, just like he did with his Son. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And he really doesn't trust me on my own. He wants to be in me doing reconciling the world unto himself. And so what he did with his Son in a greater degree is what he wants to do with us. And so we are workers together with him.
in 2 Corinthians 6:1. It says, we beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So what has happened to us is a work of God's mercy and grace. And I tell Joanne that all the time. I said, I am so thankful for that mercy and the grace. Because I, for one, realize how little I deserve anything. I don't even know if the word little fits. And anyway, God wants to do the work in us. He wants to work through us. He can do the work on us, but He wants to do the work through us. He wants to be in us, reconciling the world. Let me read a couple of verses before and after this. It says in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, that all things are of God, and has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile people back to God. And then down in verse 20, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Glory. There's more to say. I'll stop.
You know, we're all familiar with the notion of walking in His steps, and you know, He's the older brother. You know those concepts, and we kind of breeze through it. You know, we just say it. You know, yeah. But boy, if you can really make it your own. You know, eat it somehow or other. Know it in more than a whole lot more than what goes on in the brain. Know it in your heart. Know it in your spirit. Know it. Know that we are to be His younger brother. That we are to be the very same substance that He is to be in us. And it's without measure in Him. Well, hey, maybe it can be pretty close to without measure in us. You know, we need to not just mouth that, not just know it intellectually, but have it be what we are all about. I don't know. Until it happened, you don't know. You know, and I'm not saying it's happened, but I get a glimpse of that land. In which we are really, truly of His nature. You know, we too, He had a ministry of reconciliation, and it will be that very, very same thing going on in us that we are doing. It's just... prospect of what is available to us is so grand, and it would be such a pity to fall short through whatever, indifference, unbelief, whatever, considering what and like he said, what right do we have to it? We have no right to it, but that's what grace is all about. You know, we have a very gracious God who gives us what we don't deserve. We want to be deservers. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know. Anyway, if there is, and I'm not claiming to have the whole of it, but I do have, I think, just a bit of a glimpse of it. You know, the door opened, opens real quick and closes quick. You know, let's head toward that door. Let's head toward that door of a place where we truly are Christians. You know, he's of Christ. We too are in his, following in his steps, whatever.
I just want to make a comment. That is that until, you know, that was a act of God's mercy and grace to get us listening to his word. Because until we listen to the word of God and start absorbing it and getting it into our system, we don't even understand Christianity. All these years that I have had a form of godliness, whatever it is, I mean, for years and years and years, I didn't really understand what Christianity meant. You know, God is not looking for 90%ers. We don't see anything in the scriptures that suggests that we can get by with 99%. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, you shall love the Lord your God with all, you know, not 99%, with all of your heart, all of your being, whatever you are. And another one, it says, God says, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart. Well, you know what? When I started listening to the scriptures, I couldn't claim the love with all. I couldn't say that I was seeking him with all of my heart. And as I started listening to the scriptures, something changed in me. And it's still changing, but something has changed in me. And what it is that I am realizing that I can't do anything of my own. It is impossible. It requires God to give me the love to do the things that he wants me to do. Everything that I need has got to come from him. I have no ability to do the things that the Bible says I should do. And yet, if we read it without ears to hear, or if we read it without eyes to see and hear it without ears to hear, we will start thinking and get under condemnation, and we'll think, well, I got to do that. I have to live that. And that's why we have the church condition that we have today, legalism. I have to live this life before God. You know what I hate to say this, but you know what the truth is? You can't.
That's right. Amen.
It's impossible to live the scriptures. Otherwise, we would have been back underneath the law. They tried to live the format of the law, and they couldn't do it. And that's why Jesus said, you know, he said, no man has ever fulfilled the law. He told us that. Nobody's ever lived by it. With one exception. He was the only one ever that fulfilled the law. And so, but what it does, it takes, and so when it says Christ in you, the hope of glory, if you got Christ in you, what do you have? You got the Spirit of God in you that was in him in the fullness. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but do you understand what I'm saying? Did Christ ever lose the Spirit of God?
I don't think so. Maybe on the cross.
Anyway.
It's always kind of funny. Just happened to pick the word up and read this morning and read in Corinthians, same places almost. But I'm gonna read the whole setting of that scripture there that Keith was in. And just show how it's written in the Word. Therefore, if anyone else is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, you know, the reason Christ was a reconciliation to God was because he provided the perfect sacrifice. So as ambassadors, we can't necessarily do that part, but we can confirm that he did do that for everyone else, you know, as ambassadors. But then I was also reading, and this got brought up too, in 1 Corinthians, about, you know, about the Spirit. So, it says, I'll go back here, it says in 2:6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, and some of this you're very familiar, but I'm going to read it anyway. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, you know, I read this, I'll bet you, 5 times, and it just, something is not completely sinking in. I'm not seeing. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. And that, I can't comprehend what that is, you know, in relationship to what it's saying there. But so, if somebody gets that later, please share it with me and with everybody else. and then that's the end of chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 3 in 16, which Keith already quoted, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And I mean, you know, I brought that a few weeks ago, how that impacted me, that, you know, the fact that God, of all people, wants to live in me and you, you know, and especially I was thinking of me, but that any of us, because we're all the same. And so that would just kind of jumped up that I needed to hear it again and had that, and then Keith brought it anyway. So it's obviously something that's supposed to settle into our spirits, you know. yeah, I love the whole fact of that, the fact that Christ, see it, now if you believe as some that there is a Trinity, none of that would make sense. Because it says you would be reconciled unto God because of what? Because of the sacrifice of Christ. Well, if you try to make them all, then it just muddles it all up. It doesn't make it pure, you know? And so Christ, who was God, wanted to reconcile himself unto God for us to be reconciled unto God and to him. And you know where it makes no sense. No, it just doesn't work. And that's the part that stood out. See, God's the ultimate. And you know, and I want to be careful about how this I say this, but you know what? A lot of the church today, boy, and I hope I'm, you know, really get on me about this if I'm off, but a lot of the church today has made Christ more important than God.
I think you're right.
I mean, if you stop and think about it, if you listen to a lot, he is the total emphasis. Well, it says we're to be reconciled unto God. He's the ultimate. He's the Father. He's the one who Jesus said sent him, that made him, that created him. You know? And, yeah, we can't have it without, you know, the two are vitally important. But the fact that it says there in 1 Timothy, it doesn't say before he was resurrected, you know, that he was the mediator between man and Christ, between God and man, the man Christ. It doesn't say that. It's not saying that before he was resurrected. It's saying it for all time.
Yes.
After he's been resurrected, he's still being, because this was written after he was resurrected. So he's still the man Christ Jesus. You know, and that's why that setting is so vital. Tied in with a lot of others. But that one really, I mean, how do you get around that? You can't say, oh yeah, that's when he was a man, but now he's a God. Well, that's still saying he's a man. So what is he? You know? And if you want to keep, and it's just become so much more apparent to me, I guess in my feeble little mind, that the enemy has, you know, he's been at this for a long time. And there's no basis from, I mean, there's a big gap that there is no history of any Trinity, you know, at the time of Christ. There's no reference whatsoever. If he is God the Son, wouldn't it be said at least once? Never is it said. Always the Son of God. But it does say God the Father. All the time. You know, and the fact that, because that's what we are as men and women and, you know, as humanity, when we don't understand something, we just try to twist it to where we can make it fit for us. And if you can't see that and admit that, you know what? You're lost. You know, it says you're in the wisdom of foolishness. That's where your wisdom's coming from. Because you're not asking the